try to unmute you for you. Do it for you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you. Okay. So I apologize for the technical issues here.
No problem. I'm taking roll. So I am asking Director Labar, are you here today?
Present.
All right, thank you.
Right.
One more. Chair Lopez, absent, and we have vacancy. So we do have quorum at 3.
Thank you very much, Siri. That takes us to public comment. So this would be allow members of the public up to 3 minutes. Items not on the agenda, and we cannot take action on these items. Is there any public comment?
Nothing received at the office and nothing online.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to the consent agenda. Do you have any questions, comments, anything? Are you ready to make a motion to roll? All right, anyone want to make a motion to approve consent? I'll second that. All those in favor, please say aye. We'll have a roll call, please, since we have someone.
Aye. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Director Labar?
Aye.
Director Carbone? And Vice Chair Kosmicki?
Aye.
Pass.
All right. Thank you very much. That will take us. Did I need to do public comment on consent, actually, huh?
Yes.
And I didn't do that. So I apologize. We'll have to back up. All right. I did it for the other one. It was right after it. So any public comment for consent? I apologize for that.
No. Nothing received at the district office. No one online.
Would it be advisable to just take a roll on that?
I think you're okay. No public comment. Right. Went back.
Sorry about that. Bumps in the road here. We'll move on to the regular agenda then. Item 5, consider and appoint one regular member from the board to the Function of Small Law.
Can somebody make sure your mic's off? Okay.
We're good. Okay, item 5, consider and appoint one regular member from the Board of Directors to the Budget Personnel Nominating Committee to replace outgoing member Dolores Morales. Hey. So, do you want to go ahead, Rich?
I'll go ahead. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This is your opportunity to exact some revenge on people who aren't here. But we do have an outgoing member, and that's Dolores Morales from the City of Hollister. So we need to appoint one member from the Board of Directors to this committee to replace her. And you can volunteer that member and see if they're willing. We typically have 6 members. We need 3 for a quorum. So if you want to volunteer somebody now, we can confirm with them at a later date that they're willing to participate.
Thank you very much. Yes, go ahead.
So would it be, would we be needing to volunteer someone nearest to our area, or can we just go with maybe someone closer down in the county?
It's up to you. There are no requirements with respect to geography, a geographic representation. So anybody close would probably be preferable so that they're able to make the meeting.
I'm wondering about
your microphone.
Yeah, Supervisor Adams will be supervisor until the end of this year, and then she's retiring.
Okay. Well, we could try and get some mileage out of her before she retires, so I'd nominate Mary Adams.
Mary's great. She may not prefer to do it because she's kind of hitting the end of the road here, but I'm certainly fine asking Mary. And do we want to have a backup? Can we do that just in case? Do you want to do Supervisor Askew? If Mary declines, we can go to Supervisor Askew then and ask her if she would like. Is that okay? All right. Anything from you, Director LaBarre?
No, I'm fine with that. I had the similar concerns as you did on Supervisor Adams.
Motion.
Sure, I'd like to make a motion to nominate Miss Mary Adams to sit on this board, and if she were to decline, perhaps Wendy Askew.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Great. All those in favor, roll call vote, please. Oh, and public comment. That's my one. I'm going to get that. So any public comment first before we vote?
The district office and no one online.
Sorry about that again. Okay, all those in favor, please say aye. Roll call vote.
All right. Vice Chair Kosmicki.
Yes.
Director Carbone. Director LaBarre.
Aye.
Approved unanimously.
Chair?
Yes, sir.
Just for your knowledge, there is no one from the public at this location right now.
Oh, thank you very much, Director LaBarre. Appreciate that. So that would take us to regular item number 6, receive Monterey County Treasurer's Report of Investments for the quarter ended December 31st. That would be Rosa Rosales.
Can you turn on your mic? We need to turn on your mic.
I think it's on.
Okay. Good afternoon, members of the board. This is our quarterly report, just to receive and accept the Monterey County Treasurer's Report of Investment. And this is for the quarter ended December 30th, 2023. So the district deposits its cash at the county and has needed the withdrawal monies for accounts receivable, accounts payable and payroll transactions. And the county invests our money. So I've attached the county's treasury report for the quarter ended December 31st, and the yield on that quarter was 3.54%, which has almost doubled from last year, which was at 1.78%. And the economic factors affecting the performance are attached in the treasury report. It's attached here. Where our investment portfolio lies in our U.S. Treasury corporate notes, and that's displayed on page 2. We have received our interest earnings for the second quarter. It was $121,000, and we have budgeted our annual interest for
much for that. Do we have any questions or comments from the board?
Chair, just quickly, I don't think that microphone is on.
This one?
At this, the speaker, I couldn't hear all of it.
Hello?
I could hear that. Thank you.
But
no questions or no comments.
Okay.
All right. Any questions, comments?
Yes, a comment that glad to see that the county investments rose 3.5% higher than the last quarter. So that's good news.
Good news.
Yeah, good news. I assume these are very low risk investments as they typically are in the treasury. And stock market's been doing well. So,
except during the Washington Mutual crisis when the banks went under and that. We lost a lot, but the county was able to get a lot of that back. But we've been averaging a little bit less than typical rates of return, but it's pretty secure.
Appreciate that. Any public comment?
Raised online, nothing received at the district office, and no one in the room.
Great. So that's receiving a report, so we don't have to take any action on that. So we'll move on to number seven, receive report of other post-employment benefits, OPEB, trust, and pension trust accounts for the quarter ended December 31st. And that is also Rosa Rosales.
Thank you. So this is the receipt for December. This is our pension. Part of the public agency retirement services since 2016. Currently, our OPEB trust is in the investment strategy balance. Our account balance is about 1.3 million. And since inception, we've had about $435,000. Our pension trust, that's in the moderately conservative Highmark Plus strategy. Currently, our balance is about $693,000. And our total income for to date is about $43,000. Summary and the trust pension summary, and then also attached to the performance report from Highmark for December 31st.
Comments? We'll check public comment first, please.
Comments online, nothing received at the district office, and no one in the boardroom.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Just one quick question. So on page, I think it would be 26. So under the account summary, I noticed under expenses, there's a $911.31. Is that for administering?
Yes. Yeah, so each part of it.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, but that's also receiving a report. So thank you very much, Rosa, for that. We'll move on to item eight on the agenda, review the proposed budget for fiscal year 24-25, provide direction and recommended approval to the board.
I'll step in and introduce this item. Just to give you a 50,000 foot overview, contained in your draft here, is our draft budget contained in your agenda pack. And it still needs to be worked up. I would remind the board that we're in negotiations with our contract employees right now with SEIU. So we put in a placeholder amount in our budget, so things may change. Also, it's a deficit budget. And I will just say to the board that I think I've had deficit budgets most of the years I've been here, but we managed to come out in the black typically because we do not put in or account for a revenue received from fines and penalties. Otherwise, it would look like we have a quota that we had to meet. So we do pretty well typically with our fines and penalties, and this year is no exception. We had a pretty good settlement with the district attorney's office. So, but I would also mention, along with the deficit budget, we also still have a significant outstanding debt to our pension trust. And we are making payments towards that, and we've actually increased the payments this year. But that still remains a considerable liability to the district, even considering that we have a pretty substantial and healthy fund balance. That's something that we need to take into consideration moving forward. And then we have put off a number of projects this year. We were going to redo our parking lots. We've shifted that to next year. We had a lot of rain and it was just not amenable to working on that. We're still not sure all that will take. We're investigating two potential solar structures on our roof as well as a battery station. But we're trying to work with 3CE right now to see if they could provide one at no cost. So I'd rather do that. And so that will be reflected as we move on. Probably will not be in this budget initially, but if we have to make a budget adjustment later on in the year, we can do that. Other than that, I would direct you also to this packet where it shows, for the most part, our goals that we've outlined and our accomplishments this past year. And this is a nice annual report to be able to see what we're doing and to give you sort of the lay of the land, so to speak, for what the various divisions here at the district do. And so we outline our goals for this coming budget cycle. And so it's a good item that we refer back to constantly throughout the course of the year to make sure we're maintaining our revenues against our expenditures. And without further ado, I'll let Rosa walk you through the particular numbers.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to start. So this is just going to be an overview. These are the items that I'm going to touch on. Budget development, our budget in brief, our revenue expenses, and our organizational structure, and then just a couple of the budget schedules. So then in January, you know, we meet with the supervisors and managers to review last year's actuals and then current budget and our request for the new budget. And we got to have about a month to prepare the budget. So they're due in February. Then we put together the budgets for the workshops. We have three workshops, one in Watsonville, one in Hollister, and one in Monterey. There was no public comment at any of those workshops. And then today's our first public hearing for the draft budget. And with any recommendations from the board, we'll take it to the second public hearing and hopefully final hearing in June. And then our facility begins in July. Next slide. So these are some of the highlights. Our budget's about $22.4 million this year. It's about a 10% increase from last year. Our operating budget is $8.3 million, and our non-operating budget is $14 million. We have proposed fee increases of 2.6%. We're increasing our per capita fees from 52 cents to 55 cents. And then this year we have salary increases of 2.6%. And we're proposing to add two new staff. There's an engineering, would like to add an air quality technician and then air monitoring another specialist. And then we have about $423,000 in fixed assets. $200,000 of that is for the repaving the parking lot, and that's been rolled over from this year. And then we've got some vehicles in there to replace our older vehicles. And we have some air monitoring equipment that we're also updating. And then our OPEB and pension trust, like Rich mentioned, we're increasing OPEB contribution to $53,000, and our pension is going to be $150,000. And then emission grants, reduction grants is going to be $12 million, a plug-in Monterey and electric vehicle incentives, $1.4 million, and then with some terms of $300,000. Next slide.
Barr has his hand.
Maybe you need to speak more in the mic. You can.
Director LaBarre, did you have a comment?
Yes, I cannot hear anything from the podium mic.
Okay, to hold it in your hand.
Or just okay. There you go.
Okay.
Oh, God, thank you. Sorry.
Good. Okay. So this is our revenue slide. It shows our total revenues of about $18 million. The highest revenues here are from our state grants at $6.6 million, followed by DMV fees at $4 million, and then permit fees at $3.3 million. And we have all the other revenues as listed. And these are our total expenditures that are budgeted. It's $22.3 million, with our highest being at $12.5 million for grant payments, followed by salaries and benefits. And then we have our electric vehicle infrastructure. And we have like other admin expenses and our EV incentives, fixed assets. So everything's listed on here. Next slide. This is our organizational structure. So currently we have 32 staff and we're proposing to increase air monitoring. This is 1.5 because we have a half part-time technician in there and then a new air monitoring specialist. And then our engineering would like to add a full-time air quality technician. Currently they're budgeted at half a technician. Next slide. So this is our budget schedules. This is our operating budget portion. It's 8.3 million, and this includes a 2.6% increase to permit fees. And then we have the proposed increase to the city and county per capita fees to 55 cents. And this should estimate about 23,000 increase. And our salaries and benefits is an increase of about 13%, partially to the 2.6% pay increase. We have step increases also, the two additional full-time employees, and then we have increases in retirement and health benefit rates. So we're projected to have a deficit of about 647,000. Next slide. These are our operating revenues, which I went over earlier. And then this is just a picture of our historical permit fees and where we're at. The blue line is our permit fees, and it includes major sources. So as you can see, we're kind of going up a little bit. We had a dip back in 16-17, but we've kind of been going up. And then major sources has kind of been pretty level for the last. These are our fixed assets. Our air monitoring equipment, this division is requesting about $81,000 in fixed assets. The parking lot resurfacing, $200,000, and then the vehicle replacements of $142,000. Next slide. So this is our total non-operating budget. It's $14.1 million. So this is basically all the grant payments that we distribute. So we have our major grant programs, the AB 2766. It's $3.2 million, and then $400,000 for the electric vehicles. AB 923 has $2 million in grants, and then $1 million for the EV infrastructure projects. Our Carl Moyer program is about $2 million, and this is for ag and marine vessels. And then our offsite mitigation, which is East Garrison, and then we have our zero emission bus program from 3CE. It's about $950,000. So the 3CE has been kind of rolling over for the last couple of years because we're waiting on buses. So those, I think, are going to start coming in. And then our Woodstove changeout grants, about $300,000. And then our community air protection program, about $2 million this year. And our farmer program is about $2 million. And we have our OPEB and pension trust, $203,000. Next slide. So then this brings our total general fund balance estimated at on June 30th to about $8.7 million. So we have all these reserves for economic uncertainties. It's about 25% of our budget, and then our OPEB pension, this is what we've had in the reserves, and then our building and facilities, about $100,000.
Thank you for the presentation. We'll go to public comment first.
No hands raised online. Nothing received at the district office, and no one in the boardroom has commented.
Thank you very much. Questions or comments from the committee?
I have one, Chair.
Go ahead, Director.
Thank you. One is, I do appreciate the budget workbook that you provided and really appreciate showing what you have done and what the goals are for the next fiscal year. That is very helpful. Just a quick question on the farmer program. Is that those grant funds being all utilized by our agricultural community?
Yes, usually they have workshops and they present to the ag community. So most of our grants go to tractors and mostly trackers, right?
Yes, Director Labar, I'll just mention that we have a number of years to spend those funds down. So they're usually appropriated in advance by CARB for that purpose. We are told, though, that looks like Farmer is going to be going away. So we cannot anticipate any future funds from that program. But I think we have a couple of years down the road to spend those dollar amounts. And we're looking at tractors as well as other agricultural items such as other vehicles or pumps and that sort of thing to displace diesel engines with electric motors. So we anticipate that we shouldn't have any difficult spending that down. Part of the problem has been that the pipeline has been pretty clogged and we're just starting to see it open up now with equipment and so forth since COVID and sort of the trade embargoes and sort of that sort of thing took a major hit. So we anticipate that we should be giving a lot more of that money away this year.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation.
Other comments?
Questions are well taken to the church. So it looks like we have
a slight deficit, and you feel that we may be able to make that up. I know that we have a couple increases with the cities, the per capita fees bring it up, but
23,000.
But we did do some increases on some of the penalties.
Well, typically, I believe in this budget, we've, and somebody yell out if I'm wrong, but it's around 160,000 that we anticipate that we'll receive. That's sort of been an average over the past few years that we can bank on. But typically, you know, with a large settlement from some of our asbestos cases, for instance, we've seen upwards of anywhere from $200,000 to $800,000 over the years. So we don't have any of those in the pipeline, but you never know. One thing that is probably guaranteed is that we will have some violations of our laws and regulations moving forward. So we don't include that. You have to take it in full context, though. We are showing a deficit, but then we're showing a pretty healthy fund balance, too. So spending that down, if we didn't make up that money, it's not going to hurt our fund balance too badly. And that's probably the direction we need to be heading anyways. So that's one of the reasons that we're not too alarmed. But as I said, I think in the 14 years I've been here, I've always had a deficit budget for the reasons mentioned. And we usually always come out in the black. We are also rolling over some of the items from last year that we're not spending this year, as I mentioned, the $200,000 for the paving project and so forth. So there may be unanticipated expenses down the road. I mentioned the solar project, so forth. So that would might be something we'll bring back to the board. We already have a proposal in from one of our providers for that type of service. We're trying to get this building operational so that if we do have power outage or something like that, we can maintain connectivity and employability and have a workspace that's functional. So, but I think we're fine. That doesn't seem to be when you show the deficit against the fund balance. It's nothing to be alarmed in my mind from.
Thank you. And the only other comment was I wanted to give kudos to staff for the budget, and it's a lot of work, and it's all split up, so
right, yeah.
It's really lots of work has gone into this here, and happy to see that we're going to get the parking lot and a couple vehicles. So
yeah, vehicles has been problematic. We wanted to electrify our fleet too, but those vehicles are very expensive, so We've sort of fallen back to hybrid vehicles. We do have one electric vehicle that doesn't seem to get that much use because it has such short range. But we'll be looking at getting as green a fleet as we can moving forward. But yeah, I hats off to Rosa and her crew, as well as all the managers for putting this together. This is an incredibly complicated budget, and I don't expect any of you to understand it. So questions are good because it keeps me on my toes too. But we've been doing this for so long that we've copied the format over year and year. And I think it gets better every year. And in particular too, I wanted to point out that we do significantly underwrite our permitted program. You should know that the fees we take in do not help wholly offset our cost relative to staff. So we're running at about a 73%, I would say, cost effectiveness, which means we're paying for about 73% of the program costs with the fees. So we're making up the differences elsewhere, and that's coming from part of that deficit. So, somebody can look at the budget and say that's, a scary thing to do. We've been sued in the past for potentially over-collecting fees. So I'd rather under-collect, and we do definitely shoot to under-collect fees. We can always make them up the following years. I hope not to have to bring back a significant increase in fees to the board next year. But what was also mentioned, the 2.6% represents CPI for this area over the allotted term. So that's built in, and Amy will go in her presentation about the fee increases, where that comes from. And that's something we consider every year when we adjust our fees.
Thank you.
Questions or comments? You're okay. Unfunded liability for the pension, is there a percentage attached to that? I know at our county level, ours is pretty good.
So this is something we've bantied about a lot. There is no one, sure shot number that we use. Typically, the very least you would want to have on hand or reserve is a quarter or 25% of the annual expenditures. We're in better position, but we own the building too, and we have allotments. So we've carved out some of that money to make up for the additional reserve.
I'm talking about the pension trust.
Oh, the pension trust.
I'm sorry, I'll get to that too. That was a question. Okay. If there's an actual dollar amount in the fund balance, you mentioned the fund balance is healthy. I think you were going down that road, but the pension trust, just thinking long-term, maybe not, for instance, in this budget, but to play into things into the future, how much of our pension liability is funded, unfunded?
So with OPEB, and this is approximate, we were almost funded, and then the rates changed and so forth, so we're still a little bit shy.
Okay.
I'm saying that's within a couple $100,000 of being fully funded. On the pension trust side, we just started that with a moderate performing interest return. And we actually get an actuarial every year to go through our numbers and make recommendations on what we should be putting in our pension as well as OPEB. And this year they recommended, and I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but it was something like 150,000 or something. We've elected to double that amount or more. So we're putting in more than that's required as according to our actuary.
Okay.
So, we could dump all that money in there, but it's nice to have that on reserve.
Got it. Yeah. No, it sounds like a good practice. And then the 10%, we'll talk about the fund balance. So what does the reserve look like since we're deficit spending potentially?
So at this potential, we're looking at about $8 million, and some of that has been sequestered or put against some various other, like building and economic uncertainties and so forth, but it's very healthy. You saw that our operation budget is about $8.3 million, so that's close to 100%. However, we're in a deficit, and we have liabilities on our pension. So if you were to factor all that in, we do not have, I think our liability on the pension. Yeah, so if we were to pay that, we couldn't pay it off with our current fund balance. So But we're doing, as I said, the minimum requirement and more for what our actuary recommends. So we feel like we're in pretty good shape there.
Great. And the 10% overall increase, most of that, I assume, is grants, because grants makes up a huge chunk, or?
The grants, some of the grants in the cap, I think we've doubled the expenses for this year.
Yeah, we have an embarrassment of riches with respect to the grants. The state keeps on throwing money at us faster than we can spend it for various reasons. But the bad news is that the outlook looks to be pretty dim with respect to additional funding throughout the next several years. As you know, the state's in a really difficult spot with its current budget. And we ended up getting, for instance, in the wood stove changeout program, we were able to get 2 years worth of revenue just so that we could claim that before the Department of Finance grabbed it. So it was sort of a smash and grab going on at the legislature and with CARB trying to get the funds before they went away. So we're pretty healthy right now, but you will see that money go down significantly in subsequent years.
Great. And spending down the reserves makes sense considering how robust they are. I would just suggest, you know, you talked about the electric vehicles, considering where the Air Resources District, I would say going forward, just for me personally, that should probably be a priority. As far as if we have some of those dollars to spend down on one-time expenditures, it would seem to make sense.
Yes.
Appreciate that. Any other thoughts or questions? Can I entertain a motion, please?
The Bar motion.
Second?
Verbone will second.
All right. Roll call vote, please.
Director LeBar?
Aye.
Director Carbone?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kosmicki?
Aye.
Approved.
Passes. On to item 9. That brings us to adjournment. We are adjourned.
Good job.